Praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated for just a moment. The Bible has to be the most unusual publishing project of all time. No editor or publishing house was responsible to oversee 40 independent authors representing 20 occupations living in 10 countries during a 1,500-year span, working in three languages with a cast of 2,930 characters in 1,551 places. This massive volume covers every conceivable subject expressed in all literary forms: prose, poetry, romance, mystery, biography, science, and history. The authors of this incredible book included kings, statesmen, fishermen, priests, seers, a physician, a tax collector, a farmer, a general, and a tent-making rabbi. Four books detail the life of a carpenter-turned-teacher whom the Bible claims was actually God in human form. And to this affirmation and declaration, we add our resounding amen. The prophets of old put together a purported word picture of a man yet unborn, a feat which has no equal. The Bible is immutable in its authorship. It is inexhaustible in its duration. It is indestructible in its power. It is indispensable in its value. A little over 20 years ago, one of the preachers in our area, Brother Pevler, to him and his wife was born a son. The child's lungs were not fully developed. The doctors said that the child would surely die, and at times the child would stop breathing. They would rush the child to the hospital. They would put in trachs. They did all kinds of tube work in order to keep the infant alive. But the medical prognosis was that the child would surely die. I can remember Brother Pevler interrupting our camp meetings, coming with that baby in his arms, running down the aisle, crying out, interrupting everything, asking us to pray for his baby, that the child would live. One day, Brother Pevler was alone with the baby at the house. They lived up in the mountains above the area of Schenectady, and the baby stopped breathing. Brother Pevler knew that he was too far away from the hospital. He would never be able to get the baby there in time. The baby had stopped breathing. Brother Pevler ran and grabbed his Bible. He laid it on the floor. He stepped up on top of it with his feet. He stood on the Word of God, lifted his hands and said, "Jesus, I am standing on your Word." And the baby started breathing and has continued to breathe until this day. That young man is now 20 years old, and he is beginning to preach the Word of God. From such a book, I want to read to you tonight. Would you stand in the presence of this book and the author himself, the power of the Holy Ghost? In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 10, Jesus is speaking here. Jesus says in verse 10 of John's Gospel, chapter 15, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." In the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses that I preach from more perhaps than any other, and refer to in innumerable times. If you look at the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, beginning at verse 15, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Say, every creature.
Every creature.
"He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Say, that's me.
That's me.
Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." What is his name?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
"In my name shall they cast out devils." Say,
I've got that power.
Say, I can do that. Say,
devil,
here we come.
Here we
come. It goes on to say.
Here we come.
It goes on to say, "They shall speak with new tongues." Say, I do that.
I do that.
"They shall take up serpents," put in there accidentally. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Say, what an insurance policy.
What an insurance.
Say, no one is better covered than I am.
No one is better covered.
Say, I am a believer. Say,
I've got that power.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Holy Ghost quickened this verse of Scripture to me earlier in the service. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, it says the last part of verse 17, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I feel that kind of power here tonight. And then a final portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in him." It doesn't say that. It says, according to the power that worketh in us. Would you lift your hands, your hearts, and your voices, and would you pray with me for just a moment in time? Lord Jesus, tonight, at the conclusion of this great conference, we're asking that you will manifest yourself, that not one soul here, not one individual will leave this place without having felt the touch of the Master's hand. Tonight, that you would heal all manner of diseases. Tonight, that you will, Lord, deliver from all manner of spirits, that you will set the captive free, that the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised to life again, that this glorious gospel, that somehow tonight you will illuminate it in such a manner that we will not be the same heretofore and afterward. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anoint us now to hear and to speak. Oh, majestic Father, we praise you tonight, for thou art great and thou art greatly to be praised. Of your kingdom there shall never be an end. The power of God is upon us and within us. For these things we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap with your hands and would you shout with your voice tonight? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The most staggering statement that ever fell from the lips of this man called Jesus was that we are to understand that we have the use and the power of his name. 1 John 4:17 makes an unusual statement. It simply says, as he is, so are we in this world. What a tremendous declaration. What a tremendous promise to stand upon. In an hour when the entire world is shaking, when economy, politics, everything is becoming corrupt, broken, there is tonight the sure anchor of the Word of God. And in the midst of storms and trials, we can hold on to, or as Brother Pevler did, literally stand upon the Word of the Lord. Because the Word of God is powerful. It is quick. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the most powerful force known to man. Nothing is more powerful than the Word of God alone. Even angels come where it is spoken. They come where it is preached because they were there in the beginning and they know what happens when the Word of God is spoken. They come to see. They desire to look into it, and they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. I can then authoritatively say tonight that this place is filled not only with people, but it is also filled with angels, because it is written in that book that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So this place tonight is literally filled with angels of the Lord. I reiterate in your hearing, they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. I am an heir of salvation. That means he will do things for me here tonight. That means he will do things for you here tonight through these ministering spirits. They know how to lay hands on. They know how to transmit healing. They've done it from the beginning. God has used them, and they are one of the most powerful forces in the entire gospel. We have his name. We have his spirit. We have his word. We have his blood. We have angels, ministering spirits, to minister to us. We are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can communicate directly with him through speaking in tongues. I can cut through barriers. I can cut the devil's wire. I can have a personal audience with God himself. And it is written that he will do greater things through us because we will have the Holy Ghost. It also says he will do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But the real problem here tonight is getting the gift that is inside of us stirred up. If we can get the Holy Ghost stirred up inside of us, you will lose your inhibitions. You will lose your embarrassment. You will lose this business of what are they going to think. You will reach a place where you will not care what they think. It does not matter what they think. If we can get the Holy Ghost stirred up inside of you. Would you clap your hands again for just a moment? And would you shout with your voice of triumph and victory in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Something wonderful is in this house. Faith was gloriously here while Brother Libby was preaching, but it's rising. I can feel something rising. It's like water on a floor or vapor. It keeps coming up. It just keeps coming up. It keeps coming up, and you can feel it until eventually tonight there'll be waters to swim in, or you can float, as it were, upon the vapor. Faith is rising in this place. Faith, 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 faith in God causes heaven's gates to open. It causes the scepter of the Lord to be lowered. Go ahead and clap. Faith. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so if we will diligently seek him, he will reward us openly. If our minds could only grasp the fact that Satan is paralyzed, stripped of his armor by Jesus, and that disease and sicknesses of all kinds are the servants of this Jesus, that at his voice they must depart. It would be so much easier if we could come to grips with this, if we could grasp it, to live in the resurrection realm. Consider something here tonight with me. This Jesus whose name we quote, memorize, speak, repeat, prayer, meditate upon, whatever. Consider this, that this Jesus, his birth was a miracle. His life was a miracle. His wisdom and teaching were miraculous. He lived and walked in the realm of the miraculous. He made miracles common. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a staggering miracle, but perhaps the most outstanding miracle of all those days was the advent of Pentecost. Because God was no longer with us, but he was in us. Totally different than the Old Testament, where he moved upon them. Holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. But in the New Testament, he came to abide inside of us. It was different than a mountain shaking. It was different than a wind blowing. It was something inside. It wasn't a mountain trembling. It was human beings trembling as they felt the divine, ostentatious entrance of the Holy One of Israel who came inside. I will never believe that God enjoyed sitting on top of a mountain. He never enjoyed sitting on the lid of an ark, but he wanted to get inside mankind. He wanted to live in the hearts and the souls of mankind. Thank God I'm in this dispensation. He's not just with me, he is in me. He is not just with you, he is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let's work with that for just a moment. Clap your hands again. Try to understand. Try to digest it. Try to come to grips with the fact that God is not just with us, but that he is inside of us. And if we can get the gift stirred up inside of us, there's no telling what will happen in this place tonight. You've preached all week about it, but tonight, believers are on the edge of something phenomenal. Something is happening in our day. Peter was a trembling, fearful, denying man. But after Pentecost, take another look at him. He is fearless. He faces the Sanhedrin, the high priest, with a power that shook everything. A stream of miracles flowed from the hands of the apostles that upset Judaism and shook the Roman government to its very foundations. Man is the offspring of this miracle worker. And Christianity is based on a series of miracles culminating at Pentecost. And I came tonight here to say it must not die. It must not die. Apostolic Christianity is the life of God in man. I'm talking to people here tonight that are going to fulfill this next statement. Whenever there arises a man or woman whose prayers are heard and answered, the multitudes flock to them. The Bible says there was a man whose name was John. He was sent by God. He didn't fit the ecclesiastical order of that day. He didn't look like the priest of his day. He was not groomed and manicured and robed as they were in the temple, but the boys in the temple could not get a decent street meeting on the corner outside the temple. But this man called John, who was sent by God, just dressed in skins and eating what he could get his hands on, standing knee deep in the River Jordan, preaching like a house of fire, no Avon products, none of that type of thing, just sweating and going at it. The whole countryside came to hear him because he was a man set by God, and the multitudes will still come to hear a man who is sent by God, what am I saying here tonight? We don't need Pentecostalism to become just another religion. We don't need another religion. This world doesn't need another religion. This world needs the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. We need the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. And that demonstration can come forth in worship. You can stop preaching and climb over pews. You won't find that outside of a group like this. If you're visiting here tonight, you've already seen things here you've never seen anyplace else. Stick around. There's a lot more coming, because most everything you have heard about us is true, and at one time or another, we have done it. Yes, they will fall out. Yes, they may roll on the floor. Yes, they will speak with tongues and languages unknown to you. Yes, they will get happy. Yes, there will be crying. Yes, there will be seizures. Yes, there will be groanings that cannot be uttered. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, he would pour his spirit upon all flesh. Thank God I live in this hour. Thank God I live in this hour. Thank God you live in this hour. You foreign students, by the grace of God, you will return to your country, Jesus tearing, and you will tear it up. Why? Because you have no competition. There is no competition. This is the only true gospel. This is the only true gospel. The others don't have it. This is that. 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 And another that is not coming. Another that is not coming. This is that which was supposed to come. Say, I've got it. Say, I have it. Hallelujah. I feel stirred in my spirit tonight. With faith like this, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Where Jesus is and there is faith to embrace his presence, anything can happen. 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 Anything. Anything. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing, no thing too hard for this Jesus. The deep-seated hunger, the deep-seated hunger in the human heart for God is the reason for all religions. If man cannot find the true faith, the true religion, he will create one of his own making. If he cannot find the true God, he will fashion one with his own hands, and then he will worship it. If you know anything about anything in this world, you will know the world is full of that. Men are easily deceived by pseudo-miracle workers because of this hunger for the supernatural. We take the supernatural out of this gospel. We have only a religion. We are just another stinking religion. If you take the power out of this, if you take the supernatural out of this, because we're not organized. The Baptists are. I wasn't raised in this. I came out of this. They started at 8 o'clock and ended at 9. This may go on for who knows how long. You saw all that happened here. So if we don't have a move of God somewhere salt and peppered through this, it begins to become a real drag. But it's the moving of the Spirit that takes away the weariness. It's the moving of the Spirit that helps you forget the time. It's the demonstration of the power of God flowing like a river, flowing like a river, that helps you to just want more and more and more. If you really get a hold of God here tonight, you won't care how long this thing goes on. You won't care how long it goes on. If you really get a hold of him, if we just go through some program, you want to close it down now and go get something to eat. But if God begins to move, Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You won't care about anything else if you really get a hold of him and he really begins to move in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would you clap again? Would you lift your voice? Would you wave a hand? Would you stamp a foot? Whatever your thing is, would you do it? The Old Testament, for example, is brimming with miracles. The miracle of Abraham, Joseph, plagues in Egypt, Exodus, Red Sea opening, prophets, kings, to finally a virgin conceived. God forbid that we become hearers of the word and not doers. All unbelief is a challenge to the integrity of God. Because he said, I will do it. And if he said it, I believe it. If I can find it in this book, I believe it. Say Jesus. Say it again. One more time. Do you understand me here tonight when I say that the name of Jesus was in the hands of Paul what the rod was in the hands of Moses? If the Egyptians could have stolen the rod from Moses, they would have stripped Moses of his weapon. If others could strip us in this world of the name, not the spirit, but the name, we will have lost our weapon. The modern church, having lost the power of the name of Jesus, is reduced to the position of a shorn Samson. This Gentile church is a people taken out of the world unto the name of Jesus. It is a supernatural body, clothed with supernatural power, gathered about a supernatural name. Hear me tonight, don't ever forget it. One mighty miracle today, in the name of Jesus Christ, is worth more than 1,000 modernistic sermons that are being preached in many churches, and unfortunately in some of ours. Jesus is the one name that challenges an adjective to qualify it. There are no words. There are no words. I can only say Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, there's a spirit of revelation here. There's revelation here. There's understanding here. Lift your hands and let it flow over you. Let it flow over you like liquid love. I hear groaning. I hear crying. I hear utterances from human voices. It's being born out of the depth of human hearts. Tremendous hunger here. Tremendous hunger everywhere. At this hour, what the rod was in the hands of Moses, The name of Jesus is in the hands of the weakest child. He is the great one. He is the great one. And his name is Jesus. As believers, we have access to the treasury that belongs only to believers. As believers, we have access to the treasury that belongs only to believers. You can't have the gifts of the Spirit until you first have the Spirit. It is this treasure power, this volume of riches that attracts people who are not believers. I've seen some very unusual things happen in our services. And I've watched visitors almost, I was cringing, but somehow or other, they didn't seem to see it. They were attracted, not to the unusual demonstration, but they were attracted to the power that they felt. Say power. Say I've got that. Some of you are beginning to get a hold of it. You are beginning to get a hold of it. And the gift of the Holy Ghost is stirred up. Oh. Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, I worship you in the name of Jesus. Jesus. When this church was born in 33 AD with 120 in the upper room, the devil was staggered. He thought it was over when he heard Jesus cry, "It is finished." He thought it was over. But it was just beginning. Because what Jesus had was only partially surrendered into the hands of 12 others for about 2 or 3 years. I'm sure the devil felt he could handle them once the main leader was gone. But when 120 came stumbling out of an upper room in old Jerusalem, and the preacher said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy."
Right.
Here came an avalanche of terror, unlike anything the devil had ever had to deal with.
Yes.
They turned the world upside down. Ignorant, if you please, for the most part, unlearned fishermen. Yeah. They shook the Roman Empire from center to circumference. They shook everything. The devil was totally disarmed. They cast him out at every turn. You may be seated. The devil has had about 1,900 years to try to figure us out. And he's learned a few things. He's not totally stupid. Only about 95%. He always oversteps himself. Always. He has learned to tolerate our services. He's taught us how to drag him out. And we're masters at it. He has tolerated our worship. What else can he do? He's learned to tolerate. He's even tolerated the preaching. And he has figured out ways to undermine all of these areas, to weaken them, to dilute them. By whatever means, he's worked at it for 1,900 years. But there is still one aspect of all of this that absolutely strikes terror in him. You can come to church, you can clap by yourself, fine. You can sing by yourself, fine. You can say amen by yourself, fine. You can run around the building, fine. But if you as a believer ever divide or open the will and lay claim to your inheritance, he absolutely trembles with terror. If believers get to ministering in the Spirit, he is absolutely, totally helpless to stop it. He is absolutely, totally helpless to stop it. He can't do anything with it. The terror of terrors for him is that every one of you would become another Jesus. One was more than he could handle, but now that there are millions of us, he does not have any recourse. There is nothing that he can do. We are the only people on the face of planet Earth who have been baptized in the name of Jesus, who have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That can walk in on the devil's turf and rearrange his borders for him.
Yeah.
We can walk in on his turf, on his ground, and we can rearrange his borders for him. You've done it here in Stockton. You've done it here. You've done it in your churches, in your cities where you've come from. You have moved in on the devil's territory and you have rearranged his borders for him. He has no choice but to back off. He has no choice but to back away, because it is written, greater is he that is within you than he. May be seated. A saint worshiping, sitting there, raising a hand is one thing, but a saint, a minister, who gets up out of their seat, he begins to tremble. Where are they going? What are they going to do? The devil believes in you more than you believe in yourself. If you get up out of your seat and you begin to move to someone, and you begin to reach your hands, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He can't stop what's going to happen, because it's in us. It's not in him, according to the power that is in us. And when you reach a hand over, when you go to someone and lay a hand on them, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do. It tears everything to pieces. And you've got that. Every one of you have got that. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you've got that. You've got that. that. If you've got the Holy Ghost, if you're baptized in Jesus' name, you've got that power. You can walk anywhere you want to. You can lay hands on people and something happens. Something happens. Something happens when you lay hands on. Hearts are healed. Bodies are delivered. Minds are healed. Ministering in the Spirit drives the devil crazy. He must be having a breakdown about now because he doesn't know what's going to happen here. Hallelujah. Say, I am a believer. I'm not perfect. But I'm going to be. So, here I go. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I set you free to believe, to minister to each other, to be stirred in the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. The Holy Ghost, the gift, is being stirred inside of you. Why don't you turn to somebody? Go across the aisle right now. Lay hands on somebody and command it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it. Do it. Do you see what happens when you lay hands on? The devil can't stop that. There's nothing he can do. It's out of control. It's out of control when you begin to minister. It's out of control when you begin to minister. He's lost it, and you have gained it, because these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And there is nothing the devil can do about it. Such as I have, such as I have. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, such as I have. That's it, that's it, such as I have. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, such as I have, such as I have, such as I have. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. That's it, that's it, that's it. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I set you free in the name of Jesus by the power of the resurrected one whose name is Jesus. That's it, that's it, that's it. In Jesus' name, such as I have, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 By the power of the Word of God. By the authority of the Word of God.